Georgia Supreme Court Leo Frank Appeals Documents 1913-1914, page 1046 slide. Visible translated text is as follows. Frank stepped into that dressing room, but he passed out of my view. So did Mr. Black. Mr. Gessling had a better view of Mr. Black and Mr. Frank than I did, because my back was to them and Mr. Gessling was looking straight across the body at them. Mr. Frank had no difficulty in unlocking the safe when we went back to the factory. The elevator we went down on is a freight elevator, makes considerable noise. It stops itself when it gets to the bottom. I don't think it hits the ground. She was lying on her face with her hands folded up. Her face was turned somewhat toward the left wall. A bruise on the left side of her head, some dry blood in her hair. One of her eyes were blackened. There were several little scratches on her face. Somebody worked her arms to see if they were stiff. The arms worked a little bit. The joints in her arms worked just a little bit. When we first went down the basement, we stayed down there about 20 or 25 minutes. During that time, neither the shoe, the hat, nor the umbrella had been found. In the elevator shaft, there was some excrement. When we went down on the elevator mashed it. You could smell it all around. It looked like the ordinary healthy man's excrement. It looked like somebody had dumped naturally. That was before the elevator came down. When the elevator came down afterwards, it smashed it, and then we smelled it. As to the hair of the girl, anyone could tell at first glance that it was that of a white girl. Redirect examination. The body wasn't lying at the undertaker's where it could have been seen from the door. Recross examination. At the moment, the face was turned towards me. I didn't see Mr. Frank, but I know a person couldn't have looked into the face unless he was somewhere close to me. I was inside, and Mr. Frank never came into that little room. Redirect examination. When the face was turned towards me, Mr. Frank stepped out of my vision in the direction of Mr. Gessling's sleeping room. Miss Grace Hicks, sworn for the state. I knew Mary Fagan nearly a year at the pencil factory. She worked on the second floor. I identified her body at the undertaker's Sunday morning, April 27th. I knew her by her hair. She was fair-skinned, had light hair, blue eyes, and was heavy-built, well-developed for her age. I worked in the metal room, the same room she worked in. Mary's machine was right next to the dressing room, the first machine there. They had a separate closet for men and a separate one for ladies on that floor. There was just a partition between them. In going to the office from the closets, they would pass the